Let's talk about that, because that would honestly really help the Fink right now, because the Fink is struggling with like a 30% response rate.
The Finkster.
Schools in session. This is Recruiting Daily's Sourcing School Podcast. Real talk about recruiting, sourcing, and cyber sleuthing. Hot takes on sourcing tools, recruiting tech, and anything we want to talk about.
With no filter.
It's time to level up and put your sourcing pants on. Here's your dudes, Ryan Leary and Brian Fink.
Oh, we hit record.
Oh,
we did. We were already recording, brother. We got half the show done.
Oh, wait. Delete that, too.
Oh, shit.
welcome to Recruiter School. I mean, welcome to Recruiter Work. Welcome to...
Oh, man, doing this again. This guy talks about... He says the wrong title every single time.
All right.
Let's talk about Talent Management School.
All right. Welcome to Sourcing School. Sourcing School is in session.
I got it.
I'm on fire. There, that's me working a song into it. I am joined by my co-host Ryan Leary, and today we are going to party with the one, the only, Jackie Clayton, the queen. What is going on?
Hey, how y'all doing? I'm so glad to be here. I miss you guys.
You're lying. Stop it.
Well, yeah, publicly.
She just put the game face on, dude. Like 2 minutes ago, she was crabby and crappy, and now she's laughing. She was talking about how recording. Bad okay, I'll is smile. Recruiting. So Fink, did you Peloton today?
I have not Pelotoned yet. I will Peloton this evening. Let's talk about Jackie and the Peloton. Everybody who follows me on Facebook knows that I got a Peloton. I've been Pelotoning. Before we started the conversation, Jackie was like, is it really, a thing? And I'm like, yes, like it is a great sort of motivation.
We have a Peloton club at Seek Out. There are like all these Pelotoners. They follow each other and they talk about it. I want to be part of the club.
Did they buy you a Peloton?
No. But
what?
Fun fact, we got a self-care budget. So you're allowed to, they give us a certain amount of money to buy things for self-care. And a lot of people bought Pelotons with it.
Nice. Well, that is self-care. Awesome.
That's a cool benefit. Like, take care of yourself, whatever it is. And then tell us what you did.
So speaking of taking care of oneself, Jackie, that is a horrible segue, Brian. Speaking of taking care of yourself. One of the things that Jackie, Ryan, and I were talking about before you, the listener, joined the conversation, let's not forget about you. We are glad that you tuned in, is we were talking about right now that Brian Fink's response rate, the Finkinator, my response rate it's in the low 30s. And Jackie was like, Jackie, what did you say?
Mine's 68%.
Okay. So welcome to dueling response rates at sourcing school. Jackie, how are you doing it? Like, what's going on? How are you facilitating this conversation at scale?
Well, I think I have it's one of my superpowers. I don't have a lot of, I don't know how I'll tell you how it started. So a while ago, I remember I used to send out these emails and it would be very detailed. And I would explain all of the things about our company and do all those things. And I wasn't getting really good response rates. And then one day I was really frustrated, and out of frustration, I started sending like two-liner emails to candidates, and I would get response rates and start relationships. And then there's kind of a pattern and a cycle. It's kind of like an approach where it's kind of a ramp up approach. Like, because you have to ask for permission. I think what people get wrong is that they assume that this person's going to be so flattered and excited that you reached out to them from, whatever insert company name here. And we thought of you and we saw your background, but people know you need them more than they need you, right? A lot of these people are already working.
Yeah, that's interesting. So many, as you say that, you know, people, you think people are going to like want you to reach out to them or however you said it. Sorry, I'm totally messing that up. But as you're saying that, I'm thinking like, how many emails have I sent? Which I generally get a really good response on anything that I do there, which, you know, I'm lucky for. But in my mind, that's exactly my thought process. It's not like, oh man, I hope they answer. It's like, no, you want my email, you want this job, or you want this. So I'm just going to tell you like it is. And that I've always taken that perspective, no matter where I'm writing an email. And it's probably the wrong vision that I should have, or the wrong thought process I should follow. But as you said, it made me think back to how many times have I wrote an email and just thought, here's the all-knowing email, and you know you want this job.
And exactly it's because, what I thought. You know what it is that I think as recruiters, we try to close on the first email.
Yeah.
This is my name. This is my company. This is the position. This is why you need it. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to offer. Let me know if you're interested. Which is very assumptive. You already assume that they hate their job, that your job is better, that your money, you know, all of these different things. And so at best, to get the response, the best response you can get, the best thing you can do with your outreach is to get them curious to want to do more.
Yeah.
Right. So you have to ask on every email that you send out, you are trying to ask permission to continue to drive the conversation. So rather than the first, and this is a lengthier process than most people are taking, but this especially helps if you're building pipeline. Their first email should be this: my name is Jackie. I am a recruiter at this company. I've been looking for people who are front-end developers. If I have something that comes up that you would be a good fit, would it be okay for me to reach out to you? Okay. Because most people don't do that.
All right. So Jackie, mine is a little bit different, is that I say to somebody, you know, I don't even say, hey, my name is Brian, I'm a recruiter. I, you know, I let my, you know, my business card at the bottom of the email say that. I articulate to people, hey, if you're looking to make a move, I'd really welcome a conversation about what you want to do next. And if I've got a vehicle to get you to where you're going. Is that the same thing or is it different? I mean,
it's close. The thing is, it's like one of them is like, if you're looking to make a move, and because think about all the spam and all the secret-y like emails that you get and all these weird things that you get. If I read that, there could be a thought like, what if this is my boss and a fake email just trying to see if I'm looking to leave my company?
I've never thought about it like that.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Jackie on this one, dude. I like both approaches. But I think, Jackie, I think you take the approach that I generally take, which is, this is who I am, right? Hi, I'm Ryan. I am this at this company. This is why I'm reaching out to you.
Yeah.
Do you want to have a call or conversation?
Yeah, like check me out. Yeah. Vet me first.
Yeah. So a long time ago. So I guess it's not. Why? Oh, wow. 21 years, 22 years ago. Yeah. Holy crap.
Boolean bar. I have what two words.
Oh, remember that? Yeah. Bar. Yeah. It's actually so funny story. A version of that is sitting on my bookmarks bar, and it has been there for years, and it's just never been used, but it's still there. So literally 21 years ago, I was part of a sales training at a company called DEI Sales. And the biggest
DEI sales.
Yeah. Sales training. Yeah. It was a sales training company. Look at
diversity, equity, and inclusion training 21 years ago. Go on. Tell me more.
See that? See, I was destined to be a recruiter.
Absolutely.
I was destined. but the entire, if you boiled it all down, the goal of that train, or the key thing in that training was, when you get on the phone call with your potential prospect, the only goal of that call is to get them to the next step.
That's right.
Not sell, get them to the next step, whether that's call them back to follow up, whether it's scheduling another time, whether it's get them a proposal, whatever it was at that time, get them to the next step. And I've always taken that approach back into recruiting. And that's the same type of email that you're talking about, Jackie, you know, like get it to the next step.
You're starting to earn their trust, and you want to give them an opportunity to vet you. And it's like, they find out if you're real. I was recruiting someone last week and they ended up coming back and saying, I at first didn't think it was real. And she responded and said, is this a robot? I was like, no, like, you know, here's a picture of me with your name on it. Like, I'm a real person. I used to put my face in my signature so people knew that I was like a real person. But like you're saying, you just want to get to that next step. And so when you're asking permission to have a conversation, like, I don't want to bug you. If you're not interested, that's cool. This is what I do for a living. And I specialize in people like you. You can find me. This is the company I work for. This is where, you know, this is my LinkedIn. If you're open, would it be okay to talk to you if I have an opportunity that comes up? Because then they say yes. So then the next time you email, they'll be like, oh yeah, that's Brian. I told him that he could reach out to me if there was something going on.
It's your own little form of a double opt-in.
Well, I mean, I ask candidates all the time. I'm like, look, you know, we talked, we agree this is not the right fit for you. And I'm saying to them, would you mind if I check back in like 6 weeks and just to kind of see where you are, where we're at, what's going on? But Jackie, you're doing that all over email. Like, that's powerful.
And you have to do, the thing is that you have to step these things out, and you can still send this in a bulk email fashion. That's the other part, because it still has a feeling of being highly customized, because you're just asking a couple questions, and it still has that feeling because you're giving people information about yourself and giving them the opportunity to find out. So they know you're not a robot. They already figured it out. Even if you send a mass email, because the other ones, when you try to say the other pieces or you try to use some of those form fields, it's just disingenuous. And then you can start building those things up. Another thing that's really great, especially if you're sending out, if you are sending out mass emails, whatever tool you're using, your CRM, one way that I was able to secure a lot of candidates is by responding to those out of office emails. And I'll tell you what to do. I'm still learning. I said at the beginning, it was a superpower. It's something that I've been working on for over 20 years and I change it. Right. I'm regularly changing it. So am I an expert? No, but I'm getting pretty good. I think 68% is pretty good. I remember having like 13%. But one of the things that you do, it'll say, I'm out of the office. I'm on vacation. I'm out on maternity leave. I am out. Talk to these people. I'll be back on this day. The day after, you send an email and say, how was your vacation? You know, I sent you an email last week. You were out of the office. I saw you were on vacation. How was your vacation? And oddly enough, because they don't want to be back at work because they were just at vacation, they'll be like, oh my gosh, it was awesome. You've already opened up a relationship.
Yeah. And most systems, even, I mean, once you transition, if you're using volume, once you transition out of, you know, a CRM and into your personal email, whether it's if you're using G Suite or Exchange or whatever you're using, they all have a scheduling feature, right? So when once you get the out of office email, rather than just saying damn and delete it, open it up, check out the date in there, click it, write your response right there in the moment and schedule it out for that next day or the day after that day that they're back, and give them a day to get back, and off it goes.
I think that Ryan, that you're trying to take Jackie's superpower and simplify it when like, I mean, my mind is just blown by like, you know, this, like,
I'm watching you take notes. I'm like,
I know. I'm like,
what are you doing?
Yes. I'm taking notes for those of you who are watching at home. I am taking notes. You know, I like the fact that this offers a different perspective. Jackie, I do want to come back to this, is that there's a lot of companies that are now getting into the email cadencing game. Like, send you one email, you don't respond to it, you get another email. You know what I'm talking about. Do you think that drives down the response rate? Because
no, it does if you say, did you get my last email?
Did you get my email?
I hate that. In case this got lost in your, no, it didn't get lost in my inbox. I will share with you my cadence. So my first email says, would you be interested if I, you know, if I had a job that was open, right? I get the 68%, right? So we're talking about the 32% that like don't respond or don't open or don't do the stuff. And then that's like, you know what? I am so sorry about my last email. That was really presumptive on my that part. The truth of the matter is I do have an open position that I want to talk to you about, but I wanted to make sure that I had, you know, permission to be able to talk to you. We're starting That's to so have interesting. Interviews. So I would really love to talk to you about this. And then you give the pitch that you would have done 10 years ago that says, here's the link to the job. Obviously, I know you're working, you're probably happy, but if it would be okay, would you want to talk more about this? And so it's kind of like, you're like, let me take a step back. I'm sorry. I told you my name. I asked you if you would be interested. Let's try to get to know each other. I'm assuming you didn't respond because I was just, you know, maybe it was too brief and you wanted more information. So let me give you more information. Like, you know, the truth is I do have these jobs that come up all the time and I was reaching out to you and because I know this is going to be coming up in the next couple of weeks. Because that's the truth. I mean, everybody right now, especially everybody's trying to build pipeline because it's feast or famine with a lot of these companies that are hiring right now. So the second email is like, I'm going to take a step back. And so the cadence isn't, did you see my email or you didn't respond or.
Floating this to the top.
Yeah. The second email is like, you know what? I'm sorry if that seemed assumptive. Let me tell you the reason why I didn't hear back from you. And I was really hoping because I actually have a role that's open.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, Jackie, on, and I always find myself in this situation. I don't know if it's just for lack of creativity sometimes, or I'm just moving too fast and I'm not thinking. Responding with, I'm following up on an email or, you know, something like that. I'm following from the email from last week, something like, you know, you mentioned it, but what are your thoughts there? How do you get out of that practice?
I think that the thing is, it's like I always believe you have to communicate with someone in threes, right? They're not going to respond. And you have to remember the timing of your email and how you're sending it out, what somebody's life is like. If they don't respond, that's your answer. So I don't think people say, oh, reply to my last email. No, every email needs to be a new email because the one that they reply to that has that on it, the, you know, regarding on it, that's the one that you track because that's the one where you have your full conversation. Everything else is an individual email when you is using those tools, especially your CRMs. Send them all as individual emails because let's just say your first email turned them off. And they forgot about it and they just deleted it, right?
Yeah. And then up the bad news? Why show up at the doorstep with the same, oh, Jackie,
did you respond to my email? And they're like, no. And then they're like, I can't even find it. Oh, wait, it's in my trash. And I threw it away because I think you're an idiot. Thanks for the reminder.
Crap.
You know?
Yeah. So what, all right. So, what other questions you got here? I was going to go.
Okay. You know, I interrupt the guest and now I get to ask questions. No, all right. Taking notes, Jackie, I think that's really pertinent about the threes, about sending that out, the cadence of three and making it three original emails. I really like this humility about, I'm sorry if it sounded assumptive. Is there a candidate who schooled you on that or educated you about the way your tone, or was there somebody else or is it something you just figured out? How did that come about?
I've converted from, you know, recruiter to editor to customer success to DEI strategist, right? And so in all of those various roles, I've gotten, you know, recruited for different things, especially now. And I just found those things that get on my nerves. I just do it the way that I would want to be treated. And I'm telling you, like, there are some things that I notice that I just get completely triggered. example one, when you're on LinkedIn and someone asks to connect and then you connect and they send you an email and say they have a job, I delete, I unfollow and I'm like, I'm done with you. The other one, the one that I always gets me is, oh, in case you missed my last email. I hate that email because now you're actually criticizing me. Like I'm really busy right now. And now you're saying that I didn't pay you attention, enough attention. You're criticizing me, telling me I made a mistake. Like that's not a good way to start a relationship.
You know, it's so interesting because, and I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus here, but your counterpart, Eric Jaquith, Jake, if you're listening, you are awesome. I think that you are one of the best bullion builders around. I'm sucking up to him because he always teaches me something new.
He's a smart guy.
So, Jaquith suggested using a red dot and second request as a follow-up to an email. That doesn't sound like something Jackie Clayton would do.
No. And I think that, but I think that suits Jaquith's personality too, you know? And that one just doesn't fit my personality. Like I am really big about, and it depends if you go with the background of our recruiting and what the kind of work that we did, you know, like he had major like recruiting and volume and, you know, some RPO and some of those types of things, which is a different than when you go from agency to corporate. And so I think that's what the response is, was the level of time working in a corporate. For me to work in a corporate structure, because you have to build the relationship. When you're an agency, you don't necessarily, people are really fast, they're moving really fast. But when you are working on from a corporate standpoint, these are not just candidates, they're potential clients, they're potential customers. And you have to start building on that, or they're potential recruiters for you when you start looking for another opportunity. So you just, it's about building relationships, especially when you know that at some point, if you're recruiting, like, you know, you're at Amazon, if you're recruiting in the Seattle area for a certain skill set, you're going to keep doing that, right? Regardless if you're recruiting here or someplace else, you could run into these same people and people talk. So I there has to be a certain trust level and I want people to feel comfortable. But I think that you can be consistent. The thing is one thing that I used to work at Robert Half a long time ago, and something that someone explained to me way back then was that if you can have continuous conversation, that when they need you, they'll pop up, even if they're not responding to you, even if they're not saying anything to you. And so from that respect, you always want to keep it kind of light and keep it like, you don't want to accuse anybody. You're trying to build a friend. And we've all had friends that we lost contact with, or somebody in college or something like that, right? That you want to stay in contact. You wish happy birthday every year. You just keep putting those things out there. You wouldn't say, oh, happy birthday. Oh, did you get my last email? Like, how come you didn't respond? Like, you know, just put it out there, give it to the universe and just let what happens happen.
I'm with you there. Sorry. So there's another side to this. There's the outreach, which is what we just talked about. But then there's understanding how to respond to a candidate in a way that allows them the ability to feel comfortable and trusting of you. So what's your wisdom there?
I think part of that is transparency and making sure people know exactly where you are in the process. Even if it makes you what you think would make you look bad, you look worse not having the conversation. So right. You can say, like, let people know, like I picked a day a week that was correspondence day. It was Thursdays. All of my candidates, I let them know they can call me all day on Thursday. And I would be sending emails doing my, we're not going to move forward or whatever else going on Thursdays. So that kind of put me in that mindset. But everybody that was in process would get an email and say, I still haven't heard back. You know, we had some things that are going up. We're still interested. You're not out of the running, but I want you to know where we are. But I think it's important to cut people as soon as possible when you know that you have to cut people. But you give them to continue that trust effort is giving them the opportunity to, once you have them and you're starting that relationship, you give them an opportunity to reach back out to you, and you let them know, like, if anything changes in the process, I want you to feel comfortable letting me know. Likewise, I'm going to tell you if anything happens in the process where this is no longer an option, this position is no longer an option, you know, but we'll still have the conversation. Ask for permission. It's always about asking for permission to be blunt and honest. And every candidate will be like, yeah, I want you to tell me. So you kind of set that up in advance.
Right. Mm. Jackie, you know, you've dropped a lot of knowledge this afternoon, and I think maybe to wrap it up, what are three takeaways that we should have? I mean, like, I've got humility. I've got, if I sounded assumptive, Jackie, what are the three takeaways that you think that our audience at Sourcing School needs to know about outreach? And man, I got so many questions I could ask you. Like, okay, I don't want to end yet. I got a different question. I'll get to the wrap up in a second. I got one other question.
What's your wisdom? Forget it.
I won't forget it. Okay. So real quick, Jackie, you've got a podcast. You also have a podcast that's called Inclusive AF.
Yes.
Do you think that podcast gives candidates a line of sight into your transparency as to who they're dealing with, or do you think they do any research at all on who they're talking to on the other line?
No, they do. And it's weird. I had the weirdest thing happen. I had somebody that sent me an email and said, I want to talk to you more about the role. I did have a couple of questions. Can we set up a time to talk? I said, sure. And then they said, I listened to two of your podcasts and got the answer to the question. And I said, wait, what was the question? like, let's back up. Are you sure? Was I right? Was it good advice? I think it helps. I think my podcast helps people see things on different sides of the spectrum and what people are dealing with. What's one thing that is frustrating, I think, in the diversity space as a Black woman, every time you hear about talking about diversity class or trying to do those things, it's always teaching white people how to be tolerant of other groups. It's never about how to support Black people who are looking for a job where they're underrepresented and what goes on and how you can keep moving on and moving forward and talking about the struggles that people are having. On the flip side of that, Katie is, you know, a white woman that does diversity class and only has so many experiences. And so that's how our friendship kind of started, of trying to tie into that. So I think that it's helpful for people to know candidly, open conversations, the things that are getting in the way of diversity and inclusion, the things that we do that are making mistakes, where we make mistakes, and then different opportunities to try to make it right. Because when you know better, you do better. And so it's just constant growth, constant staying curious. And I guess if I had to say, kind of going back, even though you didn't want to end it yet, if I had to say one of the things that's important, it's always stay curious. Just stay curious. And that means you want to get to know your people. Be curious about what they're doing. Where are they working? What's working? What's making them happy? Build relationships and stay curious and not be the person who knows everything that's going on. Go into it understanding that every conversation will get you closer to understanding what's going on. So you want to just keep having those conversations. So to stay curious about processes, about what works, about learning about diversity, learning about the different roles and the technology that's going on, the more curious you are, then it helps you in being more empathetic with the people that you're trying to reach out to. So I don't know if I answered your question. It feels like I just...
Okay, so no. Like, I think that you gave me three things. Is it one, be curious, two, be use that curiosity to fuel empathy, and three, try always to be not to make people understand you, but try to understand them first.
Yeah.
That's what I heard. That's
good.
That's what I got on the... That's why I take notes, Ryan.
Wow. That's good.
That was
broken good. Hand and everything. I'm taking notes.
Oh man, that means it's over.
You've been listening to the Recruiting Live Podcast by Recruiting Daily. Check out the latest industry podcasts, webinars, articles, and news at recruitingdaily.com.